This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
This is Love Sport Radio with your London football fans. It would have been spooky.
I'm so sorry. I do apologise. I didn't realise.
Darling, the microphone is... You're in the gaffer's chair tonight. You're in the gaffer's chair tonight.
And Clayton and I almost wore the same thing. That was all we were just remarking.
It would have been a fashion faux pas.
It would have been
a fox pass.
It would have been
a fox pass.
No, it would have been the opposite. It would have been perfect.
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 It would have been very scary for Aaron looking at us two in that slimline top.
Slimline, yes, in our sports gear.
Anyway, hello.
Have you gone to play croquet, lady? Look like a croquet.
Croquet.
Sorry, I've interrupted your saying hello. Hello, yeah, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Friday night.
No Chidge tonight.
It's
just me and Clayton.
You sound very
bunged up.
Nasally.
Yeah, funnily enough. I wonder where I got that from.
Shouldn't come trying to give me a kiss and all that. Weirdo. That's what he tries to do every week. Just cuddle me and stuff. I don't know why.
It's because we love you, Adam. It's because we love you.
Clear tongue beer in mine in the corner. Sorry, let me introduce this properly. 4 minutes past seven across the capital. This is Love Sport Radio with your Chelsea Fancast. That's Jonathan Kidd over there. You might as well. You're going to recognise him anyway. Cleartan Beerman is in the building as well. Good to have you back with us, pal.
It's good to be back, mate.
Another good day in the big smoke.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're all good.
Chelsea!
You look suitably good. Delighted.
Yeah, I look suitably
Chelsea!
Good.
Yeah, exactly.
None of this we hate the Spurs.
What is that? What's this clicking you're doing?
I'm clicking the fingers.
You look like Manuel from...
That's poor.
40 Towers.
I worked with him, Andrew Sachs.
What?
Nice chap.
Very good. Did you?
Yeah.
I know nothing.
Yeah, very good.
Anyway.
He wasn't Spanish, you know?
No, I know. He was from...
he was from Swanage. Bath.
He's from Swanage.
Barnet.
I'm from Swanage. right, yeah. We're talking all things Chelsea this evening. We'd love to have your company plenty on the way.
Please phone everybody, please.
Looking back at the game against Huddersfield Town, looking ahead to the game against Manchester City.
Sorry.
Who made that noise?
Me. I'm scared. I'm scared of Manchester.
You sound like, you know foxes in the night.
They do that.
You know, I was like,
yeah, okay, but I wasn't doing that.
It was Touch with a Mouse, wasn't it? There was a Touch of Mouse in that as well.
Eek, eek.
As long as there's no sausage in it, it's all good.
No sausage in it.
Yeah, we're going to be looking back at the game against Huddersfield Town. A great result. I predicted it. I met a Chelsea fan of mine, a Chelsea fan friend of mine after the show, and he was like, nah, something not right. I was like, come on. It's Huddersfield. Come on. You know?
But I think, I don't know, but I think two people in the studio last Friday night, you predicted a victory, didn't you? Chidge thought it was going to be 0-0.
I said they're going to win.
I predicted...
You 3-0.
3-0, I said.
I predicted a victory.
I predict a riot.
Well, we didn't know that your man, Higgy, Higgs Boson...
The Higmeister. The Higgatola.
What? Gonny Gonzalo. What does he call him? The Infernal Goal Machine, as
the
he calls him.
Infernal Goal Machine,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, he calls him. That he would...
be on fire.
Do his thing. But having said that, I just said, if he starts playing, then Hazard will play better. I said that. I've said all of this. He's the man.
You can only play what's put in front of you, but they were very poor.
They were poor. As I mentioned on several occasions, they were poor.
They were poor, but yeah. We played very well, I thought.
Yeah, particularly
a lot of good things.
First 25 minutes, played to the Sarri plan. Mm. Very interesting. It worked really well.
It's funny what happens when you have a striker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah, very weird. Yeah. Who would have thought, eh?
Who would have thought, Aaron?
Who would have thought?
I'll tell you what, though. Huddersfield were poor.
Yeah, they were poor.
They were poor.
They were there for the taking, I think, is the expression. But nonetheless, as a process, as a means to an end, it seemed to fulfil its requirements, didn't it?
And in the league, was that the first time we scored more than three goals since November? So that was all.
Since November 1872, I think.
1872, yeah.
We weren't even formed as a team.
Toll Puddle Martyrs. Were they involved? Were they at the ground that day?
Yeah, I think the lurkers were involved.
The lurkers.
Goals from Higuain, Hazard and David Luiz saw Chelsea beat Huddersfield by 5-0.
Third goal from a corner in about 215 attempts, I think.
Yeah. Good little ratio you got going there. Yeah, Maurizio Sarri has said following that when he wants consistency from Chelsea. So a little bit later on we're going to be talking about Chelsea being consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing we are consistent in
or inconsistently consistent.
No, that doesn't work.
You got it wrong way round.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Consistently inconsistent.
Wrong way around. Plus, we've got the quiz ahead of this weekend's fixture.
The quiz.
We're asking who has played for both Chelsea and Manchester City.
Have we got a jingle for the quiz?
Have we got a jingle for the quiz? No.
Can I just tell you that the Chidgetini, he has found 19.
I've got one.
Blimey. So, if anybody else...
Oh, that's good.
I love this. Austin Powers. So, basically, 19. We've got 19, but people, if they could tweet in their...
Who are they going to tweet? They can't tweet the Chelsea fancast.
At Love Sport Radio.
They can tweet the Chelsea fancast because I will look at the Chelsea fancast on my Twitter.
Are you taking over as the quiz arbiter, the quiz inquisitor? Is it you now taking it over?
Well, you can do it if you want.
No. You're the man with the Chelsea fancast, with the app that allows you to get access to
Appage.
It. Appage. The Appage.
No, yeah. I've just basically got Twitter.
But I feel...
Everybody else has got Twitter.
Okay, I feel you should do it.
Tweet goalie 59.
Perfect.
At goalie59. Yeah.
At Love Sport Radio.
Or at Love Sport Radio. Or at Jonathan Kidd.
Kidd with a Y. K-Y-D-D-Y. Not K-Y-D-D-Y. That would be Kiddy, which
BBC
I'm not.
BBC Sport. Yeah. You know, whatever you want to tweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tweet anybody.
Tweet Paddy if you want.
Tweet Paddy.
Tweet Paddy.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
At Tweet Paddy. I don't know what it is.
Tweet Paddy.
That is.
But anyway. Tweet us your former...
Should we give them a hint of how many... Have we told them how many there are?
No, I didn't mention that.
No, I'm setting you up again.
There's 19.
Really? I didn't know that. How many?
For those people of a certain age,
I know that from Phoenix Nights.
Yeah, 19.
It's Paul.
Arsenal,
who is a Chelsea fan.
Indeed he is.
Yes, he is. Thank you.
Indeed.
I have one already in my noggin.
Go on.
Yeah. I'm not going to take that.
No, don't say it.
I'm not going to see it though, late.
Don't say it, absolutely.
Because so it might render the quiz to be quite poor.
10 plus 9.
Aye, you hot.
Right, what we're going to do next, we're going to get Ollie Hartbold on the line. He's from football.london and he is going to give us the press report.
We're not worthy.
This is Love Sport. Love Sport.
Wish like people could see what goes on during the breaks down. It's world class. It really is world class.
I have to say,
he's doing Pete Townsend.
Having listened to the podcast from last week, I'm loving the music. The music.
Paddy's
so
really
good.
Stepped up his game. You know,
it's so good.
I'll tell you something. He's really stepped up his game. He's dusted off those 7 inches.
I have to say, when listening to the station, and especially in the morning, the comedy,
Stony.
When the squeeze song starts, and I get so excited, and then there's no lyric, I don't know.
Is that supposed to sing along?
Ask Paddy. You have to pay for the lyric.
Well, if you ask Paddy, he might do your request a little bit later on, isn't that right, Pads? Do your request if you want.
Well, I'm shy now. I don't know what to ask.
I'll give you a shout out on the radio. Let's talk to Ollie Hartbold. He is world class. He's from football.london, and he is here to talk to us about Maurizio Sarri. How are you, Ollie? Yeah, not bad. Good to have you on board with us. Now, I'm going to start off with my traditional question. What was Sarri's vibe today?
A little bit down, really, actually, I've got to say. It wasn't the most jolly I've seen in a press conference. It was quite a short one as well. It didn't give too much away, obviously. There were the obvious questions about Higuain and Hazard as well, about his future. As far as injury news goes, it was pretty good news, to be honest. Only Cahill had a little back injury from a couple of days ago. Hudson-Odoi had some fever, as Sarri said, but they're both back in training. So apart from that, everyone's raring to go for Sunday. But yeah, for some reason, his mood was a little bit down. I'm not entirely sure why.
Did he have a cold, do you think?
To be fair, I was down when I went down at the podium. It was absolutely windy as hell and raining so hard that he probably just didn't want to go outside and do the training because it was that miserable down there. So that's probably what it was, probably just miserable weather, so he didn't really fancy it.
So, Ollie, one of the things that Conte did, which I think really hacked people off during his last season, was when he was asked whether we could win the league, he sort of poo-pooed it, and I see that Sarri's done it today. Now, I know that Sarri is basically, I don't know where the question came from. Was it because Pep said that everybody down to about 13 he thought could win the league, but it was a bit ridiculous. But did somebody ask him about that? Because I don't know where Pep said that us and Man U could still win the league as well as Liverpool and Tottenham. So is that why, where Sarri, was he answering a question about that? Or...
Yeah, absolutely. It was basically to do with what Pep had said and the fact that if Chelsea win on Sunday, I think they go 9 points behind with a game in hand as well. So if they won that, then they'd technically be 6 points behind on an even keel. So that's where it came from. I think if we're all realistic, we probably don't expect it to happen this season. Chelsea have still got a lot to play for, which is still quite exciting. But as far as the Premier League title goes, I mean, it's quite interesting what Sarri says, actually. He's done this a couple of times. He's failed to mention Spurs when it comes to winning the Premier League title. He's constantly said that City and Liverpool are the two teams above everyone else and that everyone else is playing for the top four. Whether it's just playing down that to take some pressure off, I think if we're all realistic, though, we probably have to say this season it isn't going to happen. But Pep was making the point that, 39 points to go, if Chelsea can get a good run together, then they can maybe mount a challenge. That's what Pep was saying, anyway.
1954-55, Ted Drake was asked the same question, and he said, no, not a chance, and we won it.
So there you go. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I mean, you know, it's Liverpool on a little bit of a dip at the moment, but you probably have to think that City are going to be the ones that capitalise on that, maybe.
So, I mean, I didn't see the conference. I just read a couple of things about it. I mean, was he asked about what sort of approach he was going to take? I think he said he thought we were a bit lucky when we beat them at home, which I think is pretty honest of him. And I think we were lucky to go in one up at half time was quite funny. But we played very well in the second half in the home game. So did he sort of give any hint as to how we'd line up or his approach?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, he was sort of, when he was saying about the lucky, he was more, as you just said there, he said they were lucky to go in 1-0 ahead at the break because, you know, if you remember the game, City were completely on top for the majority of the game. Somehow Kanté
just... I don't know how they failed to score,
It was. Well, it was very odd because they played. I remember they played a false nine like we did as well. Raheem Sterling was playing up front, and it didn't quite work. Especially when you think about the times that Sterling has ripped Alonso apart. You would have thought he would have started on that
on the wing. But, absolutely,
yeah, and so you know, as when Chelsea did false nine as well, and then Kanté popped up. And I think, to be fair to say, he did say at the end of the day they did deserve it because they defended very, very well, and in the second half, as you say, they were much better.
Ollie, do you think they're a very good defensive side, Chelsea, because they learnt so much under Conte and that is their default? That is what they would like to play? Because I found the defensive performance against City to suddenly they seem to be able to do that really well. I know it was early on in Sarri's reign. But is this one of the problems, do you think, that he's having, is that they're so used to playing counter-attacking football that's why he's got this specific thing about their supposed mentality? Because I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing happens tomorrow, that they defend really well and then break and score a goal.
Well, I think you're right, JK. I think you're absolutely right. I think he made that point today about the fact that, you know, he kind of gave the impression that he's not expecting to have much of the ball tomorrow, that, you know, City are very dominant at home a lot of the time, and that he said that they're going to have to play very fast football on the break. I think that's generally the idea. You know, he said that they're going to have to defend just as well as they did against City. I think you remember that David Luiz had an absolute stormer.
Well, that's why I think, because that's the thing about him, isn't it, as a player, is he seems to rise to the occasion.
He's a big game player.
Yeah, whereas, you know, against Bournemouth, he takes his eye off the ball, doesn't he? So,
you know. And also, you have to remember as well, when he's not asked to play high up the pitch, he's a much, much better player as well, because he doesn't have that recovery pace. And down that left flank is where Chelsea has been ripped apart several times with Alonso and Luiz, who aren't necessarily the quickest. I think if they're having to play a bit deeper, I think that might suit Chelsea a bit more. You know, I still think he's not going to go to the false nine. I would expect Higuain to start on the Sunday, especially after his couple of goals, because, you know, having that target man there and a guy of his quality when it comes to finishing is pretty crucial, especially if you're not going to get many chances in the game, which I kind of expect is going to happen. I'm hoping it won't be anything like last year when Chelsea went up to the Etihad, but I'm not expecting a great amount of chances.
That was one of the great lows, wasn't it, Ollie, that last year? My goodness.
Oh, it was, and I don't know if you remember that video that went round when they were only 1-0 down and yet they were just walking instead of actually trying to close down possession. I think it was Fabregas.
Is it Silva just holds the ball, stands with his foot on the ball, and Fabregas does nothing?
Yeah.
Will stay with me for
15 seconds.
Yeah, it will stay with me for the rest of my life, that image. It really will.
I think that aghast. From an outside point of view, I think that was the moment where Chelsea fans really gave up on what Conte, or they started to believe that the players did not believe in what Conte was really doing, because there was just no ambition there, no approach whatsoever. So hopefully if they do a lot better than that this summer.
Well, that game sticks in my mind for two things. One, it was, I mean, Conte just lost, I think all the fans were, it was inexcusable that you had hundreds of millions of pounds worth of talent on that pitch and they didn't do anything. I remember the ball sailing over Hazard's head on various occasions. His body language absolutely stunk during that game. But then I also remember that we hit the post right at the end and we could have actually made it 1-1, which would have justified
everything for him.
So, hopefully it won't mean anything. I mean, without being flippant, I saw somebody on Twitter pretty recently was complaining about Sarri's appearance again. And I was just wondering, when we play in the cup final next weekend, do you think he'll actually have a cup final suit?
Funny enough, I actually mentioned this on. I was sitting next to Riaz from the Daily Mail at the weekend. He pointed out again that he's probably the worst dressed manager in the Premier League.
Ever.
Whether it's like you get ever.
But I think it's designed. They're designer pyjamas, Ollie, aren't
no,
they?
No, it's like a baseball style shirt. You know, like you get in America. I love it.
And
I
his wife has stitched on a Chelsea bag.
I wish they made it available to buy because it looks like. He looks like my granddad. That's what my granddad used to wear, like baseball style shirts, because they're really, you know, like proper, like comfy, like warm ones.
Yeah, and you can get the trousers on really quickly as well because they're elasticated, aren't they?
Exactly.
That's that aspect of it as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
The answer to your question, I think no, I really don't see him wearing a suit at all. I think part of it's probably he's quite a superstitious guy. I believe that's one of the reasons as well why he likes to train on the day of matches because of his superstition. I think that him wearing his outfit, being comfortable and doing all that is one of the reasons. So, yeah, I really don't see him sort of rocking up in a suit on the sidelines. I can't imagine anyone.
Was there much chat? Did anyone sort of ask about Eden Hazard?
Yeah, there was obviously, there was these comments that came out, but JK and I had a discussion on Twitter about this, actually, about when the comments were made. Obviously, they were made a couple of months ago, but they were only released this week as part of a preview with French RMC Sports. And, yeah, he was asked it again, and to be honest, he just said what he said all along before, is that he talks to Eden every day, but he only talks about what's happening on the pitch, where he wants him to be. And he just says, you know, he wants him to stay. He thinks he's the best player in Europe, is the way he put it, or the best winger in Europe, at least. And that he did say that Hazard just has to be happy.
He was uplifted by playing with Higuain, I tell you that. He really looked on fire in the Huddersfield game. Once again, I know it was Huddersfield, but he really looked as if he was creating a relationship with him. It must, you know, if you're playing with a top striker and you're thinking, my goodness, we actually might score a few goals now, he must suddenly raise his abilities. It may raise his enthusiasm, mustn't it, you know?
Absolutely. It was just nice to see a striker step over the edge of the box instead of trying to find another pass. Yeah. Actually just take a shot. And I know it took a bit of a deflection, that last goal, but, you know, it still was great to see that confidence. And in Higuain, I do believe he's got a technically good player who won't fall on the floor every 5 minutes and who will actually link up well but also take his chances. And I think that's just what Chelsea have lacked, really, since Costa.
But I think that aspect of just having a dip is quite phenomenal, actually. You just think, I thought everybody who was a striker wanted to do that. He just has a sight of goal and has a go. You know, it's what Harry Kane does. And Harry Kane does it whenever he falls over. He's falling over, he has a go, and the ball occasionally goes in the net because nobody's expecting it. It's basic strike. The very fact that Morata never wanted to do it was just completely beyond me. He seemed to completely lose confidence at Arpuna. But we won't go into
it's
that
good
anymore.
To see that his magic touch is working at Atletico, who lost their first game in 19 after he made his debut.
Yeah.
Very sad.
That was quite funny for a lot of us. The curse of Morata, indeed.
Ollie, how do you see the game this weekend going, pal?
I've got to say, it's going to be a tough one. I think I just really think it all comes down to the Chelsea team that turns up on the day. You know, the last time they had a week off and was able to train, they put in that performance against Arsenal, especially in the first half, which was absolutely atrocious. So they can't do anything similar to that, otherwise they're going to get wiped. I think that if they can just put in the defensive performance that they did in the first game, I really think they can come out with something, with a point at least. And I think if Chelsea do go away from the Etihad with a point, it's probably going to be a happy day, you have to say. So I'm going to go with a one-all draw and hope for the best.
That's what I said, Ollie. Thank you.
Top class. Top class as ever, Ollie.
Thank you, mate. Brilliant.
So much for joining
us, Ollie
Harbord there from football.london with us here on Love Sport. Tonight, Aston Villa take on Sheffield United in the Championship. We'll keep you up to date with everything that goes on there from Villa Park.
This is Love Sport.
Words of Morrissey, Paddy, you've made a happy man very old. To the basement with the- Man of Rhythm. It's claimed.
No, I'm just very old. And very happy. Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you for playing this one.
Top, top
you,
track.
You're a fan of this one, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
There you go. He's had his request played out on the radio.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking all things Chelsea this evening. We love your calls. 0208 70 20 558.
Call us, please.
So, going back to Huddersfield.
Yeah, Huddersfield.
So, Higuain.
Is that how you pronounce
Higgy.
It?
Higgy.
Higuain.
Wayne.
I said after the game that it was the most reminiscent, or that was the most lethal striker of a ball I've seen since Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Yeah, I mentioned him as well, very similar.
I know, I know you did on Monday night, just basically thought that, apart from anything else, it was instinctive. It was like Costa, that, you know, the minute that the ball was played through to him for his first goal, it was in the back of the net. There was no hesitation.
He didn't need to look at anything.
Dink.
Yeah.
If that would have been Alvaro, he would have stopped, he would have turned, he would have tried to chip it over the goalkeeper.
And
then he would have lost the ball. The second goal, I didn't realise there was a deflection. It was very, very slight deflection, but it was a deflection.
But
the fact that we have somebody who's actually willing to hit the ball from outside the area is fantastic.
Yeah.
And he really looked up for it. So, be interesting, because I think the whole thing about Sunday is service and whether we can get the ball to him. When we play the better teams, they don't close us down and try and, you know, the banks of four aren't there. So there's always a chance up against City, but it's just a question of actually getting the ball off them, which might not be easy.
It was damning that after the Bournemouth defeat, Bournemouth lost to Cardiff, which spoke volumes, really, that
completely
we could not cope with the banks of four, yet, mind you, Huddersfield didn't have a bank of anything, did they? So,
But the point is that, I can't remember what I heard this week, but apparently Bournemouth's change in fortune has happened since they dropped Begovic.
I think I mentioned that last week about how they dropped Begovic. They brought in Artur Boric.
Who's 93.
He's 93 or something around that age. Age question mark.
Yeah.
And he produced more saves in one half than Begovic had in like his past four games or something like that.
I heard that stat. Because thing is, with the Bournemouth game, first half we were right. Second half we just didn't come out the dressing room, which was a bit of a shame.
Well, we almost did. It was just the heads went completely down when after the farce.
It was cold.
And I was cold in my sitting room. I had to have the fire on.
It was very cold. And the other thing that was, I thought, from the Huddersfield game, which was incredibly encouraging, was Ross Barkley. I thought he played really well.
Well, he played much further forward.
Yeah, I thought he played like Ross Barkley rather than
sideways cog in a sideways wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was all very encouraging, I thought.
Did you think that Emerson would play instead of Alonso that weekend?
I just basically think that... I just thought that after that defence had basically had one change and then they let in more goals or the heaviest defeat for 4,000 years, and it was obvious that somebody was going to be sacrificed. Rudiger was injured, wasn't he, on Saturday?
I thought Christensen played very well, though.
Yeah.
In fact, Christensen seems to fit Sarri slightly better than Rudiger, which I thought was ominous, but let's see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sunday, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I don't know what's going to happen because we don't know whether Luiz is going to stay in the summer. Because of the contract situation. So that was... it was encouraging on Saturday.
Just looking back at the win, how much is that going to do to sort of restore confidence, or is it sort of an expected one where you're not ignoring it, but you're thinking, oh, it's Huddersfield, fair enough, but, you know, the real test is obviously this weekend and next weekend?
I think it was good for the confidence, because obviously the Bournemouth defeat was soul-destroying. However, they are coming up against possibly the best side around at the moment, so how much that will give them confidence for that game, I'm not entirely sure.
But as we know, being Chelsea, they might win one and lose the other. Both, and then beat Malmo both, and then beat Spurs. You can't... being Chelsea, I say being the current Chelsea, if it was Chelsea a few seasons ago, they'd have beaten everybody. I suppose that's a dilemma, isn't it, as you're comparing to some of the great sides. I mean, particularly one of the surges on Twitter has been this desire to go back to the way Chelsea play, which is some kind of mythical strong strength with a spine that has JT type players with Lampard and Drogba, and you just battle and you against all odds, and doesn't matter that the opposition are probably more skillful than you are, you batter through them and you win.
But interestingly, that type of team doesn't exist anymore. If you have a look at the Premier League,
indeed.
There are no teams who play like that.
Well, the Bournemouth attempt to play like that, but fail.
Possibly, but not.
No, I'm being unfair to Bournemouth, but I like Bournemouth as a side. I think the
thing is that there is always a place for a Michael Ballack type player or a Didier Drogba type player, but we're trying to do something else. I mean, to give up now would be slightly foolish, but our club has done some foolish things
in the past.
But I don't think they've got the appetite for it, to be perfectly honest. I think if we don't make top four, that might be a different thing. But he's had one transfer window. He had no pre-season training.
Yeah.
We're fourth, we are fourth again.
Yeah.
And in all the cups, so we'll see.
Happy days, happy days. We're going to crack on, we're going to carry on, and we're going to be talking about Gonzalo Higuain next.
558 AM, Love Sport. 558 AM, Love Sport.
Watch the video of Rod Stewart drawing the Scottish Cup teams. What do you make of that claim?
I'm just watching this sending off from the Rangers Aberdeen game, which I've not seen. This Rangers player has been sent off three times.
Anyway, good evening. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio. Let's talk about Gonzalo Higuain. Is he the solution to Sarismo? Is he the one who's going to see? Is he the final cog?
I wouldn't say final cog. He's a cog.
Is he a cog?
A cog, yeah. A cog.
He's a temporary cog. He's a temporary fix.
Why is he a temporary fix?
Because he's going back to his parents.
No, they've got an option.
We've got an option for another year.
Another
loan.
Year, yeah. And then a purchase.
And then a purchase. When he's 45.
He's 47.
Might as well bring in Boric as well.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Who has it got? Who's 39? He's playing in the Premier League at the moment. What's his face?
Robert Green.
They've done, played the other night.
For whom?
There you got me. I can't remember. Perhaps it was in the Championship.
Is Gareth Barry still playing?
Gareth Barry's still playing for West Brom. West Brom, like.
We saw him score, didn't we? One night in here. He did score in here.
Julian Speroni. Yeah, it's Julian Speroni.
Yeah, Speroni, yeah.
Julian Speroni.
Yeah. Personally, he should fit because he knows Sarri, doesn't he? He played from under Napoli and scored 36 goals. And so there should be a shorthand.
Yeah.
So he should fit the system better. And if he starts sitting the system, as I almost said, which I prefer, actually, if he starts doing that, in a minute I've got an opal fruit in my gob. This is why I'm sounding slightly different.
Other chewy sweets are available.
Yeah, they are available, but I rather like these. They're called Starburst, aren't they now? He should score regularly and with great pith and moment.
With a great aplomb.
With great aplomb, yes, well done.
Love that.
Well,
word.
It's quite interesting because they're basically saying that he is going to thrive on all the chances that we create, but I actually don't think that
many
we
are created
that many chances.
Well, I think we do. I think it's that business of every time I'm watching them, even Hazard is guilty of this. He gets the ball, drives the ball forward into the D, and you then think there's the moment for the dip. Have a dip now.
Yeah.
Edin, as the bloke calls him at Chelsea. I don't know how he's arrived at Edin.
Which bloke?
The announcer. The bloke speaks like that. He says, and goal from Edin Hazard.
He says, please welcome Bournemouth and your Chelsea.
That's
right.
Him. That's him. That bloke. Yeah. Him. He says, and you want to go? Well,
hashtag bring back spy.
Call him Eden. You know, let's give in to this. If we're going to go Eden Hazard, let's call him, rather than Eden, which is, you know, Edin, because he should be Edon, you know, let's be honest. Sorry,
it's like all the commentators call Kante Conte.
Yeah, they do. Well, to be fair to him, boring, this is beyond belief, but the French A for that is actually Conte, and he really is Conte. In the same way that the 24-hour Le Mans is Le Mans, as opposed to Le Mont, which is a mountain, as in Le Mont Saint-Michel. I've disappeared up on my own fundament, I know. I know. But I just couldn't help myself. Anyway, yeah, they call him, now they're calling him, well, they just call him Kante and be done with it. Let's call our players English.
So
names.
We're not creating that many chances.
Yeah. Well, no, but my answer was that even Hazard gets at the edge of the penalty area.
Is it
area,
even or and, even?
That's the new breed
and,
of player.
And he passes
never,
it.
You'll never see the Mario Stanic goal again.
But from where I'm sitting, you go, there's the moment, I can see it, the goalkeeper can't see it. Have the dip, you've got the dip now, dip it now, get it in.
Clubs have like bird's eye analysis, they have someone sitting in the roof with a computer and a laptop tracking passes to tell him in the future, this is where we're doing things and this is where we're going wrong.
Once again, as a forward, excuse me, I'm now choking, as a forward, on the very same suite, as a forward, what you're trying to do is to score. So if you see the goal, and you've got the opportunity, you have a go.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something.
No, but Higuain has a go.
Have you sat like row one at Stamford Bridge before? Like right front row?
Hello, that's his seat. He is in the front row.
No, he's not. He's up top in the hospital.
Oh, do you mean pitch side?
I mean pitch side.
We mean in the seats by the
on the bench.
Oh, that's the word. Yeah, on the bench.
Even if you sit in the press box, which is just behind the dugout, the
that's
viewing,
what I'm next to. I'm next to there.
The view, what, like on the same level or above?
No, I'm there. I'm on. That's where I am.
He's just above.
The viewing angle's not very good. But if you,
my viewing angle's very good. How dare you?
Because you pay a premium for that. Yeah. Yeah, yours. The press ones don't come with butler and manslave and all that.
Heron.
But if you look from the top, we're going to get the menu diaries later. If you look from the top, like, the view is completely different. Like when you sit in a different position in the stadium, you get that bird's eye view where, you know, we're going to sit there and spot passes like it's going out of fashion. You know, we're going to all turn into Frank Lampards and Paul Scholes and Reno Gattuso's, and we're going to be pinging out balls
left, right,
centre.
Why not?
Down on the deck, it's different.
Yeah, but it ought not to be. I'll get to this business of, you see the goal, you see the opportunity, you have a dip. People have a go.
People don't have a go anymore, though.
No, they don't. They must. Well, Higuain did. Let's see what happens.
And Harry Kane does.
Harry Kane does. That's why Harry Kane scores so many goals. He has shots from ridiculous angles, and he's falling over. Everybody goes,
the goal he scored against Wolves at Wembley was fantastic. I can't say that as a Chelsea fan, but it was a brilliant goal because it was instinctive and he just shot.
Can you imagine if Frank Lampard hadn't taken half of the chances that he's been taken in his career? One of those ones where it's fallen to him or, you know, on the edge of the area, whatever it is. How many goals he would have actually scored for Chelsea rather than the ones he'd actually scored? It's just like, you know, people took chances. Now, it's amazing. You know, you watch these programmes from the 90s to the mid-2000s, so now how much the game has evolved, how much it's become more on technical skill rather than actual hard graft than just lumping it one. It's very, very different.
But I would offer a counter argument. I think that a lot of teams have just basically become so fit, the players are so fit that they can chase and they can harry. And the number of times that you are actually left to have the time to shoot from distance doesn't exist anymore because somebody's
closing down
up your jacks from all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. I think that's why some of the football that we see, not necessarily us, because I think we have been interminably dull at times this season, but a lot of football, you just basically got two banks of four playing against each other. There's no space, there's no room to do anything.
Big Sam?
No. Funnily enough, Greece winning the Euros.
That was your theory.
Blame the Greeks.
No, that's when it started. Because they just basically had 11 super fit guys
behind the ball.
And they just basically sat behind the ball.
Yeah, and booted the ball and ran after it.
Yeah.
That's how Wimbledon played.
They scored a goal, a game, and then that was it. They just
Wimbledon
shot
won the FA Cup, though.
What's that?
They won the FA Cup.
Who, Greece?
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon played similarly.
Yeah.
You know? Except they were a bit more
No. They did. they didn't play like that. I mean, basically, the Wimbledon scored a lot of goals. I mean, I remember they beat us 4-0 once at home. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that wasn't that post-Crazy Gang.
No, it wasn't. I mean, during, that was when they were
Dennis Wise playing for
in
them
the
then.
First, yeah, he was playing for them. Then I think Fashion
scored.
He was very
good then.
He
played
was.
Winger, out-and-out winger, Dennis yeah. played then. Yeah. What a player. I remember thinking, I'd like him to play for Chelsea. And he did. He did, Clayton. He did
play
for Chelsea.
There you go, your premonition.
What a player.
Your premonition
was.
Slash.
Never give the ball Dennis
away.
Wise.
Never give the ball away. There's something you can actually sing that song to him rather than Bakayoko, which was an error, whoever made that song up.
Anyway, we're going to go for short balls.
Oh, okay.
We are. This is Love Sport Reddit. And on the back of this, we're going to come out with the unofficial Eden Hazard song.
Love Sport.
See, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Clever idea.
Thank you. Oh, what a name for Ethan. Me! You can read a comment. We had a little conversation, me and AirPods, on that little screen. I said, can you play it in Rifles? I got it wrong. It's by the Jam. Yeah, I know. My bad.
I was thinking of the musical Suggs.
And then, yeah, I said Eden Hazard. And I'm like, putting like, they go, Eden Hazard. It's like Ampadu. I still think he should have a tune in Agadu.
I have to say that's fantastic.
You'd have to play for us to sing his name, wouldn't he, really? Or even if he did play,
I know, some of them
sing his name.
Yeah, some of them play quite regularly and don't get songs.
That's
so,
true.
Whereas Tottenham Hotspur, who don't play for us at all, get a song every song.
Less so recently.
Really? Mm. Thank goodness for that.
Shall we talk about the aforementioned Hazard?
Eden.
Edin.
Or even.
Yeah.
Even Hazard.
Please welcome Edin Hazard. Edin. And you're Chelsea.
And you're exactly. You're Chelsea.
Very underwhelming, isn't he? Hashtag bring back Spy.
Well, they tried to change him, and they got a guy who's like that, you know.
Was he from Reading?
You're Chelsea. I don't know whether he's the Reading guy who did it, yeah.
Oh.
But suddenly he had that kind of voice, and here they are, smoking to Stamford Bridge. Stating the bleeding obvious, that's the trouble.
You know, what one sort of facet of my multitude, my skill set, if you like, is stadium announcing. So I was back up to the fella at Reading, and like I went one day just to like, you know, sort of shadow him, and he's got the ultimate sort of like lift voice.
Let's rock.
Yeah, it's just like, good afternoon, Royals. And I'm just like, whoa, okay. You know, and I've got like a clip of him, you know, like saying Reading, you know, like when the players come out and say, it's Brentford FC and ready. I'm just like, mate, there's like 3,000 people inside the Mad Stad out of 24. Like, all right, we don't need hyping up. They've got like the flames going and all that. It's a bit nuts. I reckon it was him, though.
Well, the bloke who does Wembley.
He's Arsenal's, though, isn't he?
Is he Arsenal bloke?
I think
as well?
He's Arsenal as well.
No,
yeah.
Because there was a guy there who ran a video company in not Cricklewood. I can't remember. It doesn't really matter where it is.
Was he doing rentals?
But he made videos. He made promos.
Right.
But his voice was like that originally. But that had been doing about 12 years. It was just stating things like "Welcome to Wembley, the FA Cup final." You thought we know this. Why are you saying this to us?
The worst one, Alan Keegan and Man United, horrendous because he gets like cheers off three sides of the ground, and then the Stretford end just abuse him. Like, he's just like, good afternoon, so Alex Ferguson standing, like, you got the tourists right up in, like, you know, in the gods going, wee. He's like, good afternoon, Eastern. Wee. Good afternoon, Sir Bobby Jones stand. Wee. Good afternoon, Stretford. And they're like, like, literally.
Why don't they?
Why? Because he's started doing stupid things, like doing a countdown when the team's in the tunnel. He's like, the teams are now in the tunnel. 10. 9, and everyone's just like, what are you doing? It got so bad to a point when in Sir Alex Ferguson's last season, the Man United Supporters Trust wrote a petition to the club to switch the PA system off 10
really?
Minutes before kickoff, and they did it. They actually did. It was actually brilliant.
But do you know? But this is all down. This is all due to the dumbing down of football and what clubs perceive. We want And we don't.
It's very Americanised, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. We don't want that rubbish.
I mean, look, if I get United, all I want to hear is an edition of Stretford End as we are, and Stone Roses, This Is The One. That's it. You lot want to hear The Liquidator.
And Blue Is The Colour.
There you go.
I'd rather Blue The Liquidator wasn't colour. Played anymore for
anyway,
a bit.
Let's get back
let's talk about
Even. So, all the news this week was, I'm going to make my decision, I've made my decision, and it turns out that it was from an interview 2 months ago.
Yes, well, if people had done the research, they'd have discovered that, but so, they didn't. So consequently, Twitter, of course, went berserk, get rid of him.
He's done it again, I'm fed up with all of this.
So, what do we make of the quotes from Cesc today? Have you seen the quotes
from Cesc? What's he said?
Cesc has basically said if he's made up his mind, that means he's staying.
How interesting.
Mm.
But hold on a minute. Do you remember, like, I don't understand what it is with Eden Hazard and big reveals. Do you remember when he actually signed for Chelsea, that big thing on social media? And, you know, I will be revealing at 9 o'clock
I will be joining the European or Champions League.
I remember that. And everyone was sitting there on social media just going, F5, refresh. Let's wait and see who he joins. Yeah. United fans, Arsenal fans, Liverpool fans, Chelsea, everyone's sitting there watching. He's like, I will be joining the European Champions. Everyone's like, oh, no. What is it with him and doing these things? Can't he just be like Phil Jones and sign a new contract quietly?
I was intrigued by when he was substituted in the Huddersfield game. He applauded every corner of the ground coming off. But he had played wonderfully.
Did you think there was something significant?
At the time, he wasn't normally a goodbye. You think it can't be a goodbye at the middle of the season. But nonetheless...
I think he normally does try and acknowledge all things. But he did get a huge...
He was wonderful.
Can I just say about him? So, his second goal... Not the penalty.
Wonderful.
The ball from Barkley was a good ball, but it was slightly overhit. But how he managed to control that and then beat the goalkeeper and score from that angle, just phenomenal.
Well, he did it because he's him.
Yes. Yes, he is him. Thank you. So, Cesc reckons because he said he's made up his mind that he is going to stay. Because if he's made up his mind, you can't make up your mind about something if there's no offer from Real Madrid. Chelsea have to accept that offer first, don't they? You know, so I don't know.
I think we're just, you know, we're clutching at straws here, aren't we, really?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
I wonder, when Real Madrid want a player, they will go for him. But there's, and you know, you probably don't like me talking about Spurs. Spurs fans are equally worried about Christian Eriksen, saying if they don't go for Hazard, they might go for Christian Eriksen instead. You know, so there is a player that Real Madrid would be out for. It's just a case of
who
will it be?
It could be Neymar, it could be Mbappe. All of who I think they're all younger than Eden. So I don't know. I think the thing is, if he goes, he goes. I don't think there's any Chelsea fan who would begrudge him a move, unless he went to another Premier League cup. But ultimately,
like Gordon Dury,
I've seen a lot of Chelsea fans turn around going, if he goes, he goes. You know, Chelsea Football Club will still be there. You know, the player might go, but Chelsea Football Club will still be there. They would be diminished by his exit.
I think that's called putting on a brave face, because I think the thing is that people have said, oh, if we get Cisco and we get somebody else coming in, Cisco was the Cisco kid.
Paddy, can you get Cisco on?
Cisco was a kid's character and a very big sombrero which you could buy in the shops.
I thought he did a song about ladies' underwear.
Anyway, if you know, people saying if we get Isco and another, then that's fine and it'll be this, that and the other. It will be a huge hole if he goes.
Spurs, when they sold
Bale,
managed to buy
half a dozen players.
Yeah. I mean, they say they sold Elvis and got the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, but just look at how many of those players have actually worked out, let's be fair.
I can't remember who they bought.
Eriksen, Lamella. I'm happy to pick up a list of who they bought because.
Eriksen sort of worked out, hasn't he?
They didn't sell Elvis and get the Jordanaires either, did they?
The Jordanaires?
Mm, that was the backing band.
Their shoes, aren't they? Jordanaires?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, everybody went, as in okay. There is backing band. Yeah, thank you.
So,
what do you want to make those eyes at me for? When you don't know who
I am. And I think if he goes to Real Madrid, it's less baneful than actually seeing him every week on the pitch.
Because we can't see him because we don't see La Liga anymore, do we?
So it's not on anymore.
No, it's on preview or something.
It's on a different channel. So they sold Bale on the 1st of September 2013. And of course, it was a deadline day deal. That summer, they brought in Paulinho, Nasser Chadli, Roberto Soldado, Etienne Capoue, Vlad Kirikesh, Christian Eriksen, and Eric Lamella for £109 million.
So, Eriksen and to a minor degree, Lamella.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Chadley's gone on to play at West Brom. He's now at Monaco. He's at Monaco now.
No wonder they're doing so badly.
Paulinho seems to split his time between a holiday home in Barcelona and a compound in Guangzhou.
Now he's at Barca, isn't he?
He left there. He didn't do very well. He played briefly well there, but he went off to China.
He played a couple of games at Barcelona, and then he went back on loan to China. And Guangzhou Evergrande had an option to buy him for €42 million, and they go, "Yeah, we can exercise that right. Yeah, let's buy him." And they bought him in January, which is very, very strange indeed. Kirikesh was a Romanian centre half, now plays for Napoli. Soldado, of course, everyone knows about it, was a big, big, big flop there, and now plays at Fenerbahce. And Capoue is, of course, at Watford. So it's just a case of, do you trust Marina and her co to if Hazard goes to spend the money wisely?
But also, at the moment, I'm not sure I trust her at the moment anyway, because she's just given Azpilicueta another 5-year contract, and I'm not convinced that he fits in with anything that Sarri wants to do, because he's struggling to play the correct role in Sarrismo. And who's the other person they've given her?
Alonso,
yeah, who similarly isn't the sharpest tool in the box when it comes to
this whole thing at the beginning of the season. They gave contracts to those two. They gave contract to Conte/Kante, which obviously was a fantastic thing to
do.
Yeah. They're just tying up the squad. Maybe it's because of the transfer ban.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a pause.
The imminent transfer ban. Yeah.
We're going to take a pause, can I?
Are we?
Yeah, we can have some more opal fruits and have a bit of rest.
Made to make your mouth water.
Ding. Love sports.
Just giving Clayton a full blown sort of quiz on where he lives. Where do you live?
In a house.
Where?
I'm not telling you.
Can you tell me during the news?
Beseeched by my fan.
Can you tell me during the news?
Beseeched.
I will tell you during the news.
Fair play, yeah. We're going to have some Cisco on after the break as well. Paddy's working hard to dig out that number. Trust me, it's a good tune. It really, really is. It is the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio for your... What's up?
I thought Cisco was a Mexican children's TV star.
No, he's a R&B singer. Anyway, Chelsea versus Man City is on the agenda after 8 o'clock tonight. Do get involved. 0208 7020 558.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
The 70s. When I was a young co.
Can I just say, by the way, Clayton Beam's dance dab.
Anyway. What a sherbet dab.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, in the game of the championship this evening, it's Aston Villa 0, Sheffield United, or Chef U, as you said, 1. And it's the former Chelsea man, Billy Sharp, with his 20th goal of the season.
He's
not former Chelsea.
He is.
No, he's not.
He is. Look him up.
I'm going to look him up.
Yeah.
He is.
Talking of former Chelsea.
No, he's not.
Isn't he?
No.
Oh, okay. Thought he was.
Do you know what? You've just stitched me up on the radio. Because what kiddo said to me was, Billy Sharp, yeah, he used to play for Chelsea, didn't he? He used to play for Chelsea. He used to be Chelsea, didn't he?
I don't think I used that accent.
He was Chelsea, wasn't he? He was Chelsea. So I've gone, was he?
I did, yeah.
Was he? Oh, well, you know what? I'll use that in my opener. That'd be good. And I've been absolutely tucked up. So, kids, the idea is don't believe everything you hear on the radio from Jonathan Kidd.
No, from Aaron.
But could you please tell us which players have played for Chelsea and Manchester City?
The quiz. Which player? We didn't.
I have had a massive response on Twitter.
Have you?
No. Oh. I have had nil point.
Nobody's responded.
Okay, so
I've got one.
Is anybody actually from the Chelsea Fancast listening to us?
No.
I've got one.
No, go on then.
I'm not giving it to you.
Okay, fine. So, just to recap, there are 19 players who played that we know of that the Chidgemeister has written down. So, if you want to give it a go, please do.
What are you doing? It's 0208 7020 558.
Or at Love Sport Radio.
Exactly.
Or at Goalie59.
Yeah.
Or at Chelsea Fancast.
Can I just say...
Please.
The absolute banter is... the BBC have put up a quiz. The way they put up a quiz, they ask, can you name players to have played for Manchester City and Chelsea? But they've only got 8. Their quiz features 8 players. And do you know what I call that? Do you know what it is?
Robert.
Poor.
It's an absolute char.
Absolute char.
And it's very poor.
It's very poor.
Poor.
But yeah, we are asking for those players. Give us a call this evening, 0208 70 20 55. We'll be giving you the answers about 10 annoying tonight. Yeah.
Have you just become a farmer?
Yeah, that's right. I'm off to watch the old farm derby on Sunday. Yeah.
Ipswich, Norwich.
Yeah, also known as Farmageddon.
Farmageddon.
You know.
Dear, oh dear.
I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, of course, there is a big game on the way. Chelsea taking on Manchester City. Now, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
It's a very... it's a question which I'm pleased hasn't sort of crossed my path yet, but it will cross paths with me this season. And that is... Are you with one eye looking at the top of the league and the mob from Merseyside, as well as sort of keeping an eye on your result going, you know, obviously if we drop points, then it could ensure they don't win the league. And I'm really pleased because I don't have to think about that until later on in the season. But everyone is thinking about that right now.
I think that... I want Chelsea to win every game.
Of course.
If, however, they lost on Sunday, that would be my silver lining.
Could they lose on Sunday, then win the following Saturday?
No, because we're not playing on Saturday. We're playing them on Sunday again, aren't we?
And, sorry, I'll go... Could they lose on Sunday and win the following Sunday?
I think they could. Because we are that much of a balmy team.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget Malmo in the middle.
Malmo in the middle.
Not Malcolm in the middle, Malmo in the middle. What are you doing?
No, but I mean, it is perfectly
logical,
feasible. I mean, if you recall the lead up to the cup final.
Hold on a minute. Whoa, can I just pause you there?
Yes, you can.
You're not playing on the Sunday, you're playing on the Monday.
No, he's talking about the cup final.
Hold on a minute. You've just said the week after. So it's City,
right,
Chelsea
2 weeks
this week.
After.
Oh, whenever.
And then you're playing my mob the week after on the Monday night.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
No, so what we were talking about was...
We could win all of them. We could win that one.
I was about to say,
we could lose
who
all
plays
them.
Against Malmo on the Thursday before a cup final?
We will. Us? We will, because we'll be playing them the following week on the Thursday.
That's correct!
Can we do that? Yeah.
So we've basically got Sunday...
Who believes that Billy Sharp played for Chelsea?
This show's turning into a shah.
A shah and a shambles.
We usually eat sweets either.
No, I know.
So...
This is going back to my youth, though.
Going back to your ute.
Need to make your mouth water.
So, going back to the Chelsea chat.
Yeah.
Yes, we could, because that is the sort of thing. I mean, apart from anything else, we're playing away. And according to the statistics I've been provided with, we've not won in our past six Premier League away games against the Big Six. I'm doing quotation marks. Two draws, four defeats. We've lost the last four in a row. So, which is not good.
Yeah, but Higuain wasn't working with Hazard, was he?
No, but this goes back to last season as well. Because, I mean,
yeah, we didn't have Higuain then, did we? Still had the same falling over booked
Murata.
Offside man.
I know, but I think it's a mentality thing. Don't you?
I'm not sure that the word has been translated properly. He can't mean mentality. Is it confident? What does he mean by that?
No, I said that. I think it's a mentality thing.
Okay.
Nobody else has said
that. I thought Sarri said it.
Well, no, I mean, Sarri's talking about this whole thing about us not having the correct mentality, which is, I think, too honest for his own good. Whether anything's been lost in translation, I don't know, but I don't think that helps when he keeps slating the players' mentality. He's the one that's got to motivate them. He's the one that's got to put them out on the pitch. If he's getting frustrated, then fair enough, but change the players.
Will he be given the opportunity to do so?
I don't know, because I know that you are a huge exponent of Sarri and want to give him a chance, and I think that's absolutely right. But I'm playing devil's advocate. The thing that frustrates me is that he is so rigid in what he's doing. Mm. I hate the fact that he's basically taken players and said, I've got no use for you, without actually even trying.
Well, mind you, Drinkwater's been added to the Champions League squad, isn't he?
I know, so has Marcus van Ginkel.
Ginkel, yeah.
So that frustrates me. What also frustrates me is you're 3-0 up at home with 25 minutes to go against the worst side in the division who can't score. I think they've scored 9 goals all season, and you still don't bring on Hudson-Odoi. Now, I'm not saying that Hudson-Odoi is a finished article. We've had this conversation before. But there is no way. What risk was there in bringing him on for that last half hour or 25 minutes?
He brought him on for 10, didn't he, in the
end? Yeah, absolute waste of time. Complete and utter waste of time.
Gentlemen, let's take a pause.
Love Sport, 5:58 a.m. Love Sport. This is Love Sport.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war. But it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. 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 19. But heavy as fighting of the past 2 weeks.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
19. And that is how many answers there are to our quiz. With that, how many chidge has dug up?
19.
That's it. That's a special one that Paddy's dug out for you. I promise we're going to have some Cisco later on.
No rush.
Kiddo?
What's that?
Happy with this one, son?
Your song?
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes me back. Yeah.
I have this on 12-inch.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I do. Yeah. No, I still do. Oh. I have all my vinyl. I have no record player. I haven't had one for years, but I do this. Have
Should we club together
vinyl.
And buy you one?
No, you're right, mate. You're all right.
All right. I remember this on Top of the Pops, because it started off Top of the Pops, didn't it? This song after a bit.
No.
No? Was that him, though? He did one, though, didn't he, Hardcastle?
No, that song that you're thinking about, yeah. I think was a Phil Lynott song. It was called Yellow Something.
What, Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy?
That's the one, R.I.P., Man United fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I saw him once, leaning against the black ball, Chelsea Man U game. I think he'd had refreshments.
Had he?
Yes.
Was he leaning to keep himself standing up?
Yes, I believe so.
Right.
Yes.
That kind of refreshment. Yes.
Anyway, gentlemen, let's continue looking ahead to the game against Manchester City. Of course, they've taken their position at the top of the Premier League now. One hopes that they stick around there as well. Sergio Aguero seems to be in half decent form. Anyone else you're looking at right now?
Well, you know, every time we play Manchester City, you know, we were talking about if Eden goes and he goes to Real Madrid, it's fine because you won't see him. But every time we play Man City and Kevin De Bruyne is playing, you just want to shake your head and just go, no, no. It really is
painful.
It is very, very painful. The guy is just the most phenomenal player. And
how did that get missed?
Well,
he didn't play very well, did he, in those few games? And he came
no,
in.
But
he annoyed Mourinho. That was the problem.
It
became a kind of power thing.
The thing that De Bruyne, I believe, said himself was the fact that they were sitting around, weren't they, the Chelsea midfielders at the time? And they were basically talking about why you do this and why you do that and blah, blah, blah. And De Bruyne was saying, well, I never get a chance to play, so how can I do any of this? And that was it.
You got rid of him.
Yeah. You didn't like any dissents in the rank. And potentially one of the biggest mistakes, I think, if we look at... Any manager has ever made, certainly the biggest mistake I can think.
Because he wasn't being sold to deepen the pockets, to get the coffers bigger.
He went out on loan, first of all.
He was sold because they didn't think he was good enough.
I mean, you know, we got good money for him at the time, about 27 million. But the fact that he's now worth 227 million, I mean, it's not about money. It's about the fact that he could have been in our midfield forever and a day. I mean, the only sort of saving grace is the fact he's been quite injury prone in his time at Man City, but he's a phenomenal player, so not looking forward to seeing him. They're just a really good side. I mean, I don't know if they'll be...
They've got a fantastic bench as well. That's the thing.
They've got depth, haven't they?
Yeah. Mahrez hardly plays for them, does he? And he's a terrific player.
It's also painful because it reminds you of what we were like. You know, the fact they bought Mahrez when they didn't need him. Yeah. In the same way that we bought Sean Wright Phillips and Scott Parker. you know, two really good players. We didn't need either of them, did we?
It's just because they were top players. They were bought.
Yeah.
But then all the rumours...
stop other players. Other teams getting them.
The rumour at the time was he's off to Chelsea. And frequently that was the case.
Yeah.
Whereas now the rumour that Willian is off to Barcelona and it's completely made up. That's a regular one that even resurfaced on the last few minutes of the transfer window.
Yeah.
That Barcelona wanted Willian for 60 million and were willing to give us
Malcolm.
I mean, who scored at the weekend. I mean, however, why people believe this, I'm bemused by the whole world of social media.
This is as bad as me believing Jonathan Kidd when he turns around and tells me
that Billy Sharp played for Chelsea.
Billy Sharp played for Chelsea.
I think he played for Chelsea Youth, actually. I think you'll find.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
No. So, yeah, I mean, it's always good to play against a team like City because you test yourself, but I think it really is a sad indictment of where we are now in the pecking order that we go to City, we travel in hope more than expectation.
I mean, you played them earlier on in the season, that was a surprising
result.
It was a good result.
It was not only a good result, it was a great performance. I think as we said to Ollie earlier on, defensively that day we were absolutely outstanding, and it's, you know, one of those games David Luiz steps up and is magnificent. And the second half of that game, we were under the cosh for a little bit in the second half, but parts of that second half was as good as I think we've played all season. Jonathan?
I think you're absolutely correct, because in the second half, somehow City's heads went down, which I thought was a precursor to some of their performances recently, which is some of the teams have been getting at them and they've become a bit tense. And I wonder whether they're being affected slightly by having to keep up this pace of competing at the top of the league, because I think Liverpool have been decidedly dodgy recently as well. So, and I think this is why Spurs have come into the melting pot. I know, I can't believe I'm saying it, but this is why also I think if we were to put a run together, I think we might suddenly be, you know, we might be involved in the league title.
Well, I think that is highly unlikely.
Yeah, highly unlikely, but as I said, 1954-55,
yeah.
We didn't know that we were going to win the title, and we won it. And no, Ted Drake said, no way are we going to be... He wouldn't have said the word no way, people didn't speak like that then.
No way!
Said, yeah, no way are we going... No way!
No way!
Not a cat in his chance.
In no way will we be challenging for the title.
The league
come
title.
May.
No, the league championship.
But I think,
my goodness, we've won it.
I think one of the other things as to why it's highly unlikely that we will do anything particularly spectacular in the league is this month is a brute of a month, isn't it? So we've got Manchester City away.
Yeah.
We have got Manchester United at home in the Cup.
Yeah.
We've got Tottenham at home. And we got two games against Malmö on Thursday. So, not two games on the same Thursday, but on alternate Thursdays, obviously.
I was, not to name drop, I was speaking to John Hollins during the week.
I'll get you.
Yeah, get me.
Mm. Was that in hospitality?
Yeah, he came in. And I said...
Oh, you almost spat your heron out.
Yeah. I said, oi, when you come in here next time, you know, crawl in, mate, crawl in. I said to him, but what would you do about Hudson-Odoi? The fact that he only played 10 minutes today. Because I mentioned it to him. I said, we're three up and he only gives in 10 minutes. He said, what needs to happen? He said, don't bother about the 10 minutes. Is he has to play. I give him four games from the start. And if he doesn't come good or play well in those four games, you have every right as manager not to carry on with him. But if it looks as if the crowd are crying out for him, and he looks as if he's good enough, give him a go. See how he performs. And that was from somebody who himself came in at 18. And then created
different
era,
very, very different era.
Different time.
I know, but nonetheless, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but I don't disagree. But in this run of games, the only games he's going to start, I suspect he'll play in both Malmo games.
Yeah. I've talked about him before. I said I don't think he's... he will always play Willian and Pedro because they are better than him. even though people don't believe so.
Yeah, but the point is that they haven't been in particularly good form. No, they're very erratic.
Absolutely.
And you need to swap it around.
That's why he needs to be given four games. I agree with John Holland.
No.
And he won't get them.
No.
Should we take a pause?
About the competition. Competition!
Come on, please.
Quiz. Quiz.
Somebody.
Get involved with the quiz. At Love Sport Radio on Twitter. At Chelsea Fancast on Twitter. It's Aston Villa 0, Sheffield United 1. Billy Sharp with his 20th goal of the season. No, he did not play for Chelsea in any way, shape or form. We are going to take a pause. This is Love Sport.
Your news. Your views. Your voice. Love Sport Radio. Your fan station. This is Love Sport.
Let me see that thong. Baby, that thong, 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 thong. I like it when the beat go. Baby, make your booty go. That thong, 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 thong. That girl's so scandalous. And I know I never handle it.
I'll tell you something, Kite and Bill, when I just told him, like, stick hands and have a listen to this, he goes, I know.
I could hear it from distance.
Are you not a fan of this one?
And it's not much better close up.
Kiddo?
I thought the Cisco Kid song was by War.
No, this is Cisco.
Oh, we're not really on the same.
This is Cisco. This is the song about the lady's undergarment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. I wanted the Cisco Kid.
No, we're not going to have
Cisco
a Cisco Kid
theme tune.
No, unfortunately not. This is Cisco.
Oh, okay.
This
not
is
even
Cisco.
The Cisco Kid by War.
No. No, this is actually Cisco.
Can't you find the Cisco Kid by War?
But we put on Cisco.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, cracking on. Who's going to be key for Chelsea in this one? And how do you see Sarri sort of lining up tactically?
Exactly the same as he normally does. Why would he
change
it?
That was such a terrible question.
Yeah.
I just had to get you out of Cisco Kid.
Yeah. He'll play Alonso. I'd like him to play Christensen, because I thought Christensen had a good game, and I think he fits in with the way he likes to attempt to play. It'll be intriguing to see how they keep their shape if he's going to try and play the Napoli way, Cerismo, which, they, as I said, they played terribly well in the first 25 minutes against Huddersfield. So it's unlikely, because I think the advantage of playing City is they're not going to put two banks of four, are they? They'll attack, so there'll be spaces. So I think it'll be the irresponsible force with the immovable object. That wasn't what you call it, is it?
It's the irresistible force.
Irresistible force, not
the irresponsible
force. Versus
the immovable force.
That
no,
would be,
no,
yeah, a bit
no.
silly. The irresistible force. Except one of them will be better than the other. City will be better than Chelsea, who haven't quite got the immovable object worked out yet.
Clear then.
Yeah, I don't. I think the thing is that when you play against Manchester City, they allow you to play.
Or not.
Well, it's hard to get the ball off them. I think the one thing with Man City at the moment is their confidence is slightly
dented.
Fragile.
Apparently Walker's not playing very well.
He's horrendously poor.
Well, if you do score poor. Against them, then there's
a
chance.
Vulnerability.
But I think any sort of victory against them would be the similar thing to what happened at home. They will have a lot of possession. You have to hit them on the break. I would feel a lot happier if N'Golo was in front of our defence, but we all know that's not going to happen.
Not happen at all, no.
No. No, which is a bit.
However, what happened in the City game at the Bridge was that he was forced back next to Jorginho.
He played closer to Jorginho in that game.
And he actually ended up playing his usual position.
Yeah,
because they were so under the cosh.
Well, maybe that'll happen again. I don't know. It's still great, even though he is growing into his position, that he's not playing in his best position, and I think that can only be harmful to the team. I think it's interesting. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we got a draw there, but I also wouldn't be at all surprised if we got spanked.
Tonked.
But it's just a question of attitude, because if we play like we did against Bournemouth, or we play like we did against Arsenal, and I use the word play loosely because we didn't play in either of those games, we know what can happen. It's a mentality thing, again, isn't it? So,
But I thought we lost against Arsenal because they were really on the front foot in a way that we failed to deal with. It's not a question of mentality. They swamped us. And in the second half against Arsenal, they couldn't maintain, they couldn't keep, Arsenal couldn't keep up that tempo. And I always feel that what he despairs of, Sarri, is that rather than matching tempo for tempo, we find it very difficult to deal with somebody with a higher tempo than us. And he's not used to that because he's so used to playing the high tempo himself.
Yeah, but I think if you go back to the Arsenal game, he was as culpable as the players, because we came off that pitch at 2-0 down. We were playing the false nine. It wasn't working. There was no impetus to our game at all. He had Giroud on the bench, and he should have brought him on at half time. Now, it might not have worked, but when you're 2-0 down and you're chasing a goal, yeah, and you're not playing with any forwards. Yeah. So he was just as to blame. He didn't change.
Well, no, he's a bit pig-headed, isn't he, that way? Because he just wants his system to work. So he encourages them to try to play the system better with the same team. That's what he does. Rather than changing it, he won't have that. He goes, no, play my system better, and we don't need to change the team. That's exactly what happens every time. And to be fair to him, we actually played better. And we actually, if we had a goal scorer, we'd have scored. Because I had a couple of Arsenal mates there. I'm afraid, I'm embarrassed to say, I've got some Arsenal friends. And they said, you came out in the second half and played a lot better. And if you'd scored, the game would have been completely different.
But we didn't.
But we didn't. Because we didn't have a striker.
Because we didn't have a striker, and therefore... Jonathan Kidd, with his own sound effects. I thank you.
I caught cold the other day because there was somebody in here.
Who?
Some person presenting it. I can't remember his name. What's his name?
You should stop trying to give that person a cuddle.
I like him. He's a sweet man.
Yeah, I mean... Yes, I understand he wants his system to work, but I do find it completely baffling that when it doesn't work, he's not willing to change it.
To what?
To something different, because if you think about it, our two best performances this year, which have been Tottenham at home and Manchester City at home, we haven't played Sarri ball.
Now there's a thing.
Well, it's not a thing, it's the truth.
Right. So what have we played then?
We played a high-pressing game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't sort of quick passing. We were on the opponents. We played really well in those games, but it wasn't a Sarri ball.
It wasn't Sarri's moment. No. But he was therefore disappointed with it.
Mm. Gentlemen, let's take a pause. We're going to come back. We're going to get an opposition for you from Dennis Stewart.
Wow.
Love Sport, 558 AM. This is Love Sport. The opposition view on Love Sport.
Time for the opposition. So what did you say?
I said, how exciting.
Time for the opposition. Now, I'm sitting with a couple of men, you know, of the more mature variety here. And,
senior citizens.
And I'll tell you something. When I mentioned that we had Dennis Chilt on the phone, I mean, kiddo, I've never seen you that excited. You were giddy with excitement.
Yeah. I went, ooh, Dennis Stewart, yeah. Ooh, wow.
And he joins us on the phone. So, Dennis, I'm going to get a question in quickly. Very good evening to you, by the way. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to get a question in quickly before these two gentlemen take over. First and foremost, how are you? Secondly, what do you make of this third season under Pep? And do you think that City can go on and clinch a title?
Well, that's three questions. But never mind, I'll do my best. I'm fine. Progress has been as expected with Pep. He's integrated the right players, and you know, as I said before many times, I've read both his books, Pep Revolution, Pep Evolution, the way he's moved through his managerial career, and I understand what he's trying to do, and things are slotting in. And over the years, he's made the comparison with Pep and Alex Ferguson, and they buy players to fit the system. Mourinho was just buying players. With no system, so
that's all he wanted to do, wasn't it, Mourinho? Just buy as many players as he could.
Yeah. Just buying the players and just saying play.
Dennis, do you think that Sarri should write a book so everybody can understand what he was trying to do? Do you think that would be the best thing for him to do?
Well, I think he's got an idea what he should try to do, whether the progress is as he'd like it because of the situation with Eden Hazard. You know, he's not for his confirmation that he's going to stay or go or what, so there must be some sort of uncertainty, unless he said something behind the scenes and... there's been issues with Sarri saying things about his players. You know, it's just a bit, it's a bit conflicting of when you're trying to build a team spirit in there. You know, if you look at Pep and Alex Ferguson, very rarely would they criticise the players in front of the press, but perhaps behind the scenes, as we saw with Pep in the video.
I think he comes from a business background, though, doesn't he, Sarri? You wonder whether that's what he's used to doing, is having meetings with, and one-to-one with people. I mean, from when he was a bank manager. He might have a completely different system, but you never know.
Without question, it's different.
Yeah.
Because you've got, you know, I've got a video on TV production company, a video and conference production company, and I'm always talking to presenters about understanding the end user, which is the people who are listening to what they're trying to say, and you've got to understand the end user's needs and present what their needs are, not what you want to give them. And I think the understanding of the people in the dressing room from a manager's point of view is very difficult.
Do you think it's difficult for him to make this Chelsea team into a team that follows this particular philosophy, which is based, if you look at Napoli, there the way they played was just one touch and one touch passing, and it was scintillating way to play. But is it easy to make players change their spots? Really, is it easy to make players, for example, they're used to playing defensively and breaking out? That was the way that Chelsea won their titles.
You can do what you like, but you've got to buy players to suit that system.
Yes, you can't make the player do that if he's not really home to that.
It'll take you a lot longer if you've got to re-educate them. You know, whereas really, if you want someone who's understanding straight away what you want to do, it's a lot shorter time period of development.
Did you ever have any manager try to play you completely, give you a different philosophy from what you'd been playing before?
No, I was fortunate that the manager that I played with, he understood me and played me in the position where they could get the best out of me, and I was grateful for that.
Yeah, you were a great player. I'm slightly embarrassed by my emotions here, actually, speaking to you.
Well, I think the best.
I enjoyed watching you wonderfully. I enjoyed watching you. I thought you were great, great player. Really excellent.
I like to be positive. That's always been my motto's operandi. And with Tony Book, when I was my manager, you know, he once said to me, "No, Dennis, I just want you to start wide and go where you can cause some trouble."
Was football simpler then, do you think, though?
No, it was just different.
Different kind of players.
Yeah. We had probably not so many foreign players, so it means a little bit of more challenge for the managers and the coaches to help them understand what they're trying to do. But also the managers in my period, they had a little bit longer time to get the thing right.
Dennis, it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Having seen you play, have you got any fond memories of playing against Chelsea?
Not really, because you know, we didn't play too often against Chelsea. Strange enough, because
the best one,
we had a square hat trick against Chelsea.
Oh God!
At Main Road, yeah. Very, very early on, we beat them 6-2, and I managed to nick a hat trick, which was very nice.
And how do you see it going on Sunday? I mean, you obviously watch your football. I mean, City, it seems to me that City have lost a slight bit of the invincibility over the last two seasons. They seem slightly more vulnerable, but I can't say that that Chelsea fill me with a huge amount of confidence. So how do you think it's going to go?
Well, I wouldn't say they've lost a bit of confidence. I think they've just developed, they've changed, personnel have changed. So Pep's had to adapt slightly different approach to the game. You know, had two or three players coming differently every season. He has to, what I call, evolve his team based on the players he brings in and their skills and their qualities. You know, I'm not sure whether Chelsea have done that as well as we've done over the last 3 years.
I think the thing is that for me, the main difference between the two clubs, I mean, obviously they've got a very similar recent history with money coming in and the clubs evolving in that way, is that City have done it in a much more structured way. They brought in the backroom people before they got Pep, and they're doing it in an ordered way, whereas Chelsea have always done it in this scattergun approach. Every time they've won something, rather than build and evolve like City are doing it, they seem to cut off the supply to the manager. They don't seem to help them. I don't know if you agree, but it seems to me that's the main difference between the two clubs.
Well, I did a study that the owners at Chelsea have developed over the last 10 years. Not many managers stay much more than 2.5 seasons. You know, they seem to be think it works for them. But sometimes a little bit of stability and unity amongst a group of players, and understanding of who's playing next to you, because with due respect, English footballers are very simple people. You know, got high levels of skill. You know, but you try not to overcomplicate what you're asking them to do. Unfortunately, we have an American approach to our games now, with all this money ball thing, where we've now got all the stats and video analysis. I tell my presenters in my conferences, it's no good trying to give too much information to the end user, because the audience will only take 3 or 4 bits of information out of your presentation. Don't give them 10. And I was always saying, beware of information overload. Make sure they understand and you're giving them exactly what they need, not what you want to give them. And I've read Alex Ferguson's book on leading, and he makes a similar comment, except I call it information overload. He called it data overload. And what he said, what's the good of giving a player all the video, the data analysis and stats, if you get sent off in the first minute? It's more heart and mind and man management with some players. You know, if you look in a dressing room now, you've got 23, 24 players. You probably got 3 or 4 are bright, 3 or 4 sort of 50% bright, and the rest across the line don't know what time of day it is, but they've got such a high level of natural skill and ability, they can perform at the highest level. So that contrast of different groups of people in the dressing room is a challenge for the manager to get across a team system and a team understanding. So he has to keep the basics simple.
Who are the brightest in the City side then?
What, in ours?
Yeah.
Well, certainly you've got Fernandinho, because he's a master. You've got David Silva, you've got Kevin De Bruyne. And I think Aguero's come on great in the last, since Pep's been there. Aguero was an out-and-out box player. But now you can see him thinking about where he's running, what he's doing, and that's all down to Pep's development. But certainly we've got, you know, you can see what John Stones is learning from Vinnie Kompany. You know, you can see what they're coming on, and you can see as the what I call the development and the evolution of the team. Everybody understands in what you call the various development of each individual positions.
What do you think is going to happen on Sunday? What do you think the score's going to be?
I think first goal is important. You know, if we get the first goal, you know, could be interesting. But I'm not sure which system Sarri's going to play.
I'm not sure which Chelsea team's going to turn up. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of speculation this week talking about Eden Hazard saying he knows what he's going to do at the end of the season.
Well no, in fact, that was an old story. That was 2 months ago. That story. It's just been pumped up by the media. So he played very well with Higuain the other day, better than he has been. Did you watch that?
He's been excellent.
Yeah, yes, he has been excellent, but I think at least they've now got a goal scorer, I think, so that might be an interesting...
And also, this allows Hazard to play literally in the number 10 position, which is he's such a good player. If he plays in that number 10, he gets in the little holes between the lines.
Yeah.
You know, and Fernandinho doesn't pick him up, you know, he could cause problems. And without question, Higuain is he's got very good movement in the last 35 yards of the pitch, and the attacking third, his movement is good. He's a bit like Aguero. He doesn't make 30 to 50 yard runs, but he makes 10 yards, 5 yards, 10 yards, but he just creates a little space for himself, and that's what we've got to be careful of, because he makes little runs in between defenders into little gaps. And if Chelsea have got the ball 35 yards out from goal with Hazard on the ball, you know, can slot these balls into him. So it could be interesting, because Kante is even doing that now.
Yeah. It's a change for Chelsea to have a goal scorer, really, a proper goal scorer, somebody who just seems to see the goal and have a go, like Aguero does.
Somebody who's
an inexperienced one.
Yeah,
proven himself.
Somebody who's instinctive.
Yeah, but the beauty about being instinctive is his natural movement.
Yeah.
That's what causes, because defenders like to see the man they're marking. If he's flashing left and right across them and flashing left and right then behind him, you know, it's a distraction and they could lose a concentration, and that's where Higuain has a strength.
Dennis, you've been absolutely marvellous. I know these two gentlemen in the studio they feel very privileged to have had you on. But thank you so much.
No problem, man. Enjoy. Hope you guys enjoy the Sunday game.
Thank you very much, Dennis. What a gentleman.
Thank you so much.
Dennis Stewart, former Manchester City winger there with us on Love Sport Radio. We are going to be talking quiz next.
Giving your team the coverage they deserve. Love Sport Radio. 558 AM. Love Sport. People try to put us to death. Talking about my generation. Just because we get around. Talking about my generation. Things they do look awful. Talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old.
I swear, you know what? You should have seen. You just should have seen how fast. As soon as, this track came in, how fast these two stuck their headphones on. Absolutely world class.
That's right, it caused a big sensation. Talking about my generation. With my generation.
Do you know what we haven't had from him today? Is you know the R&B soul singer? The R&B soul, like, you know. Anyway, can I just say, wonderful.
It's a competition.
Wait. Wonderful to hear from Dennis Stewart, wasn't it?
Yeah,
very good.
Wonderful to hear.
What a player.
From Dennis Stewart.
Can I just say, from feast or from famine to feast. So, we've now had quite a few responses to quiz.
To quiz.
So can I tell you? Can we have
some guesses,
please? Right.
Can I have a guess?
Yeah, go on.
So there's one who I'm not sure about.
Mm-hmm.
There's one who I'm sure about,
mm-hmm.
and one who's just obvious.
Go on.
Tal Ben-Haim is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
The one I'm sure about is Danny Granville, because I told you I used to buy him on Championship Andre 102.
Yep.
The one I'm sure about is now the president of Liberia.
Yes.
George Weah, some place of Celtic.
Correct.
Did he ever say... Yeah, I remember him playing for Chelsea. Vaguely remember him at City. Vaguely.
Yep. So... Yeah. Yeah, we've had Eddie McCready, 1977.
Standard.
Has again
big up.
Come up. Trumpage. And we have... Shall I read them all?
You can read out some of the tweets.
Okay, so... He's given us a few. Colin Viljoen.
Ooh.
Willy Caballero.
Played for Ipswich, Colin Viljoen played for as well.
Yes, he did. Danny Granville.
Yeah, of course played...
Who's that? Sorry.
Danny Granville. Danny Granville.
Who, of course, won European Cup Winners' Cup medal with Chelsea.
Yes, he did. And I think you'll find he got sent off in the final.
Danny Granville?
Yep. Dan Petrescu got sent off in the final.
Dan Petrescu.
Yeah, sorry. So, we digress. Clive Allen.
He's got a wonderful volleyed goal, didn't he, for Chelsea, Clive Allen?
Gordon Davis.
Yeah, played for Fulham.
Yeah.
Fulham's record goal scorer?
Wayne Bridge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wayne Bridge.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody called Frank Lampard. I'm not sure I've heard of him. Daniel Sturridge. Sean Wright Filippo.
Have we mentioned Terry Phelan?
we haven't, but I was about to. George Weah.
Liberian international.
Over there.
Scott Sinclair. David Lowcastle. Terry Phelan. And Nicholas Anelka.
Have we mentioned Derek Kevin?
We haven't, but I was just about to.
Are you going on to the main list?
Yes.
Go on then, switch. Who are we shouting out the people
so
actually
the only,
tweeting?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay, so I have received tweets from Tony Hanscom.
Big up.
Tinker.
Shout out.
Phil James.
Big up, my man.
No less a man than Joe Tweedy.
Big up.
What's he done as
Aurelius
well?
FC.
Shout out.
Yep. Phil James again. James Evo 10.
Oi, oi.
John Pearson. Martin Ramsey.
Big up.
Rory.
Nice one.
Stamford Chige, I think that is. Stamford
Who?
Chige.
Who?
I thought that's some form of dip.
Mitch.
Shout out.
Kryptoriana.
Oi, oi.
Sarri Balls.
Big up.
Can we say Sarri Balls?
Go for it.
Okay. And that's it.
Nice one.
That's
and Eddie,
great.
And Eddie McCready, 1977.
Yeah, I said him at the beginning.
Shut
a huge contribution. So basically, that's everybody apart from Derek Kevin, who you just said. And there's one more, Lauren Chavez.
Played for Newcastle as well, didn't he?
Did Kevin Hitchcock ever play for City?
Nah.
He was in there. He was on the coaching staff though. When Spartan,
Mark, yeah, when Mark, Spartan, he, wherever Mark right. goes,
yeah, he goes.
And Eddie Alphabet.
Yeah.
Soup.
So yeah, good effort. Thanks for all the contributions. After
thank you for your contribution.
After begging them, begging.
Can you thank them for their contribution, please, Jonathan?
Thank you for your contribution.
Mighty.
Wise words.
Right. It's got to the point of the night where Kiddo's thinking about pasta.
Funny enough, I was.
I knew it. He's thinking about pasta. Are you having pasta?
I am.
Standard.
Don't know.
No, normal people have fish and chips. He's having pasta.
Bit of fish. Got fish in it. Got tuna.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Clayton, you're a pasta man?
I love pasta.
Standard.
I love it.
Anyway, let's have some of your memories. Past City, Chelsea games.
Okay, so one of my favourite games of all time was Manchester. Sorry, am I keeping you up, mate?
Yeah, you were, but yeah.
Ow! Manchester City 2, Chelsea 3. Remember that game? It was when we won second division. And we went, Manchester City were in the hunt as well. And we went up there, we went 3-0 up, and we ended up winning 3-2. Tony Drago ran from the halfway line to score. We wore that horrible red and
I remember
white
that goal.
Hooped kit.
Yes, it was peculiar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder who came up with that.
I think it was Umbro. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think it was Umbro.
But that was one of my favourite games. We've also got the full Members' Cup final.
Yeah, I was there.
Weren't we all? 5-4.
Yeah.
Absolute bonkers game.
I have to say, it didn't give me the status. I wasn't fooled into believing we've won a cup.
But it was the first time we'd been at Wembley for a long time.
Yeah, I like that, but nonetheless, I didn't.
I know, it was all a bit.
I didn't come away thinking, wow. I came away thinking.
Yeah.
And.
So, what about you? What Chelsea Man City games can you think of?
I remember going to a Man City game and getting
beaten up.
Mike Doyle's autograph.
Okay.
In 1968, this would have been 69. And he asked me where the nearest park was.
The nearest park? Why did he want to take you?
You've told this story before.
I have. Yeah, no, not me. He asked me where. Yeah, because he there was rather an attractive young lady there with him at the time, and I directed him to Ealbrook Common, and and he said thanks very much, kidder, and I thought he knows my name.
Oh dear.
And that was the era of Colin Bell and Tony Book.
What a fantastic team.
I was going to say something, but I'm not going
to. No. What a fantastic team that was.
It was great.
Manchester City.
Yeah. 69.
Another game I remember is not a good one. It was the year after we won the Cup in 1970. So it would have been 1971. We played Manchester City at home in the FA Cup in either the third or the fourth round. And they beat us 3-0. And I remember I was with my dad and my granddad, and my granddad, who was a Millwall fan, and we left about 10 minutes early, as you did in those days. And the woman, Mary Bell, you know, the old Man City fan, there was a woman who used to go to all the games. She had like a school bell. She used to ring, and she was sitting in the same. We were sitting in the old West Stand. And I remember as we were leaving, I was crestfallen because our cup had, we hadn't been able to defend it, and my grandfather was killing himself laughing.
Why?
Because he's a Millwall fan and he thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what one that stands out for me is the Wayne Bridge John Terry game where Man City wore that, and Tevez scored the most, I'm going to use a word that's used by the youth now, bookie. He scored the bookiest of bookie goals, where it just slipped past the goalkeeper. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he mishit it and it went in.
It was Craig Bellamy scored as well, and there was all sorts of interviews scored afterwards, weren't there? Craig Bellamy talking about John Terry in the interviews. I remember that quite clearly. That was quite
4-2.
Yeah,
we
that's
lost
right.
At home.
That's right.
I'm trying to think. Are we going? Another game I liked was the I went up to Main Road and Hullet scored in the last few minutes.
Can I have your predictions?
Predictions. I said 1-1 before, and I'm likely to carry on, I think, with 1-1. However, I think it'll be 3-3 or 2-2.
Clayton?
I think it'll be 1-0.
Okay.
I'm going 1-2 to the Chelsea. Ark and Chelsea are going to beat him. Gentlemen, please. Sheffield United have grabbed a second, but I was going to say, please vacate from the nearest exit and take all rubbish and personal belongings with you. Thank you, Clayton. And thank you, John.
Pleasure, mate.
I've got some tissues here to put them in the bin.
No, just leave them there. That's lovely.
All right.
AM. Love Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.